Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to Not Live with Xavier and Jasmine.
I'm Xavier.
And I'm Jasmine, and we are Not Live. This is episode 2 of the brand new podcast here on the channel, where Xavier and I discuss all things gaming, YouTube channel, just the right, stuff that we usually talk about during the stream. We don't condense it for you.
Yeah, just something light.
Just a little something light. So we're going to start off with our new game roundup. A few new games since the last time we recorded a podcast. Let's just do them in order that they released.
Okay.
So we'll start with Nier Replicant. Give me your thoughts right off the top of the head.
It's the original game came out in like 2010, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more long ago than that.
Oh, I think it's 2010. And you can feel it.
It feels dated.
Yeah. And they ramped up the gameplay to match Nier
Automata.
Automata. So it was worse than this back when it first came out. But the gameplay, yeah, it is dated. A lot of the game is me running to one city, talking to someone, like just talking to them. And then them say, yeah, go back to the other city and then talk to that person. And then that person will say, okay, now go back to the village. And then they'll say, go to the seashore or whatever. And then
And all
that
this
happened a lot.
traveling is on foot. There's no
It's
fast
all
travel.
on foot, no fast travel. They introduce a boat halfway through the game. But one part in particular, Jab, and the guy that drives the boat was missing. So they went to the town to look for him. He wasn't there. And then they said, oh, yeah, he has a cousin up in the village. So then I went to the village, and they said, no, he's not here. Then he said, go check the postman at the seashore where I was just at. And then I went back to the seashore, and then I did a lot of that. Now all on foot, all on foot.
Why would they take the boat down?
Yeah.
That's just cruel.
So I didn't like it for that situation. But no,
Yeah, outside of the gameplay,
outside.
did you
And
enjoy the characters, the ride, journey?
not as much as near
Automata?
Automata.
You can't beat to beat.
No, yeah, it was just weird, because it's getting me the same kind of story beats. I guess people like so this one, you play like near Automata, you play through it once, you get the basic story, and then once you go through it your second time, you get new insight. In this case, you get to hear, spoiler alert, you get to see that some of the shades you fight, they actually are, they were human once, and they have personalities, and they're actually talking to each other, communicating. But
Oops.
that's something that we got from Nier Automata.
True.
But since that is a sequel game, so I guess Nier Replicant didn't, copy it. It's not like they're repeating stuff, but since I already used to that in Nier Automata, it didn't hit me as hard for this one. Because in this one, they're still just ugly, ugly looking monsters attacking me.
I don't know, the sentience, you're like, well, you're not a human, you know what I'm saying? But then in reality, you're not a human,
No,
so
so we're copies. We're copies of them, so they
they're
can come.
mere replicants
Yes,
of
so
them.
they can. Their spirits can come back into our bodies or whatever. But, I don't know. So I'm on route like C right now. But near Automata, during my second playthrough, you got to play someone else. But in this one, I'm still playing as the same person, going through the same exact missions, with only like a couple extra lines of dialogue thrown in there every now and then.
And they had you reading books.
Oh, they had me reading books. Woo!
They
They
had
had
you reading
me out
full.
here reading books. One chapter, I think it's like 45 minutes long, and it's giving me the background on the characters, and
45 minutes worth of reading?
45 minutes worth of reading. I tried to look it up on YouTube. Someone like summarized it for me, and someone had the whole thing on YouTube. I didn't see. Someone had the whole thing on YouTube, and the whole video was 45 minutes.
Jeez.
And in case I saw Charlie playing the game, and he also said those sections were around 40 minutes. I was wondering if like the
Dang.
YouTube person was slowing it down so we could read it, but no.
Right.
Other people who actually were reading, speed reading, said it was also
More than
45
a
minutes.
half hour of sitting looking at your video game TV screen, reading text. White text on a black screen.
It
That's
was
crazy.
okay to, one of the times it was like a text adventure with in the village. We were trying to save some people. Like so we were saving people, they were trapped in the dreams, and the dreams were expressed via text adventure, which is okay. But then, like I said, that later on, it was just 45 minutes of reading, which was just character background. It was a text adventure.
Like kaine? Kaine section?
Yeah. It was, you know, yeah. All kaine.
Okay. So it had its ups and downs. It's an outdated game. There's just, it just doesn't fit in with where we are now with video games, which is too bad. Because Nier Automata was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Loved Nier Automata. Same concept universe, all that good stuff. Overall, did you like the game?
I don't know. I'm not done with it yet. I still have to play it more, remember? I have to go through all the endings for me to really appreciate it. And I'm only on C out of E. And I just, it's tough for me to go through all that again. So, it's going to take me a while. As of right now, no. I did not like it. Okay. Or did not love it. Not as much as the other one.
Right.
But I'm going to hold out until I actually get all the endings, which I'm close to doing because I'm really strong. Oh, the gameplay, but more the gameplay, the difficulty curve was crazy because hard was way too hard. Not hard, it's just the enemies took too much damage, but normal was way too easy because I'm just flying through it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Enjoyable is somewhere in between.
Yeah. So whenever I play it now, I just turn the volume all the way down and listen to stuff on YouTube and then only turn it up when new content's on the screen. And that's not how I want to play, so I'm gonna take a break and get back in there later.
Okay, well, speaking of taking a break, you had Returnal release.
Oh, okay. Alright then. Yes.
1 week apart, I believe?
Yeah, 1 week apart. So I had a week apart to finish these games. Didn't succeed with Nier, but I did succeed with Returnal. I did beat that last week.
So tell me about Returnal.
Now, Returnal is a roguelike. Yes, roguelike.
Y'all, I just learned this word. Mm-hmm. And I still don't necessarily know what it means because I don't know what rogue is, but mm-hmm. I do know what it means now.
Mm-hmm. So roguelike is a video game where most roguelikes, you start, they're called runs. Mm-hmm. You start a run with nothing. Okay. And then throughout the run, you get more weapons and power-ups and whatever. Right. At the end of the run, you usually lose it all. You have to start all over again.
Thanks.
Which makes Returnal different. Is most games that like this, mm-hmm. their runs are roughly, you know, 30, 40 minutes long. But Returnals are hours long.
hours long.
Like, I'm talking at least 3 hours if you're actually taking your time and getting some stuff.
Mm. And this, so the 3 hour run is from the start of the game to the end of the final boss?
Yes. Okay. Well, in this case, there was a halfway point.
Right.
So there were three sections, and then, so one run was going through all three sections, uh-huh. and after you reach that, there was like a little halfway point, then the next run is going through three more sections.
And once you cross that halfway point, then you're good.
Yeah, you don't have to do the first three anymore, okay, unless you want to. Ugh. But yeah, like I said, 3 to 4 hours long, and there is no save feature, mm-hmm. so you're being held hostage. No. You can't turn the game mm-hmm. off, and you can't play any other game.
And if your PlayStation gets an update?
Yeah, if PlayStation gets an update while you're in rest mode or something, the game will turn off automatically.
All your progress.
Yep.
That's terrible. Yeah, I remember you. That happened to you. You went overnight. Well, not the update thing, but you were, you know, mid-run. And you just had to pause the game and go to sleep.
Yeah, I'd rest, put it in rest mode and try it again tomorrow. That was my first day. When I first got it, I streamed it on the channel. Mm-hmm. We made the first boss on our first try. We actually got to the halfway point I was telling you about on my first try.
Live on that stream?
No. So on the stream, I finished the boss. Then that's when I went to sleep. Stream, yeah. Right. Then when I got back to it the next day, I was able to go all the way to the halfway point boss. And nice. I got pretty far into the boss, and it killed me eventually. But that was my first try. I did not know all the mechanics of the game. I was actually weakening myself throughout the game.
Oh.
Because I was not doing my function missions because I didn't know what they were.
Even though this is what I was talking about. It's listed right there on the
screen. Yeah, I was like, I don't care about that though. I was thinking
three melee kills.
I didn't know that there was a downside to me racking them up. I thought I can just keep racking them up with no consequence. But no, if I kept doing it, I got side effects that I did not know about.
And yes, y'all. And he did this and made it all the way to the halfway point.
Yeah.
Boss.
And I got pretty far. Remember, I got to the, I think it was the third part?
Yeah.
Or, no, near the end of the second part. I almost got the third part.
Okay, so, I watched that. Mm-hmm. So, didn't know anything about this game. It is so cool to look at this game. It's got excellent graphics. It's very outer spacey theme. Like, I don't like Alien, that movie franchise. It kind of reminds me of if they had turned that into a video game. But it's just, you got different colors of light coming at you from every direction, and but they can hurt you, and the monsters look, they look like monsters. I don't know if they are supposed to be monstrous, but they look really cool to look at, and does it tell a good story in there?
A little bit of story. Yeah, it's a rough to even understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spoil most of it.
Okay, spoilers.
So we get drawn to this planet. I forgot the name of the planet. Not Helios.
That sounds right.
No, that's the name of my ship. Oh. Atros is one of the sisters of fate in Greek mythology.
I don't know those girls.
So that's the planet. It draws us to there because of something called the White Shadow Signal.
Okay.
So we went to go investigate. Once we land on there, we quickly die after our first time landing on the ship. And every time we die, we experience a crash and over again.
Oh.
So she's trying to unravel why she's called there. While she's there, I'm seeing other bodies of myself, which means she's been in this loop for a long time, didn't even notice. Eventually, she's able to get the white shadow, call people to pick her up, take her home. She gets home. She thinks it's over. She lives her life for another few decades. And she dies of old age, but then she wakes up back on the planet because she didn't break the cycle.
That hurts.
So it's just trying to break the cycle. And they throw in some stuff of her mother in the past and a lot of stuff like that.
Okay. That's nice. A game that is about the gameplay style doesn't need a story. So the fact that they gave you just a little teensy bit of story in there, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the best roguelike to have story-wise is Hades that came out last year.
I had no idea Hades had a story.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was good. Real good.
I had no idea. I thought it was just, I was just fighting constantly.
That one, you dying was actually good, so you can get more of the story.
Oh.
Because most of the dialogue was back at the Hades chamber. You get to talk to a lot of people around there.
How do you compare? Which roguelike do you prefer? Hades is still at the top of your list?
Oh yeah, Hades would be my favorite.
In Returnal, does it come in second? Do you have a second?
Second would be Risk of Rain. If I'm just talking about pure replay value, it would be Risk of Rain would be number one. But in terms of story and all that stuff, I would say Hades.
Interesting. That's a tough competition there. I can't ever follow Risk of Rain, but Returnal looked like a lot of fun, and I know Hades must have been a lot of fun because I saw it capture your life for many, many, many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, good. And Returnal, was that a PlayStation 5 exclusive? Or
yes.
A PlayStation Sony exclusive?
Yes, but you're right, PlayStation 5.
It's PlayStation 5 exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay, it looked great. It was sharp. Definitely worth it. Hopefully they sell some units. We're not going to get into PlayStation fiasco today. Alright, so 1 week after the release of Returnal, so in the week between the release of Returnal and the release of Resident Evil 8, you were able to completely finish Returnal, correct?
Yes. Yes. I don't know why I hear complaining talking about it's too hard.
Ooh.
Not too hard. Not too hard, Jasmine.
I mean, you accidentally got through half of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you didn't get health items. I was watching you.
Yeah, because I had a parasite in the Maternal. Most of the upgrades you get come with like a downside. Mm-hmm. And my parasite said I couldn't heal through the means of, through regular means, like picking up the med kits and stuff or whatever the green stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been avoiding them the whole time. But I didn't know if I'm at full health, if I pick those up, that increases my max health. So I was just walking past them without even knowing that I could have still benefited from them.
Maybe you're just too good at the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to brag.
You didn't want to be the one to say it. I see. Okay. So you were able to completely finish it in a week, which is very impressive because Resident Evil 8 release. And that is what you are watching Xavier play on the screen right now if you're watching us on YouTube.
And I finished this, yes, last night.
You beat the game?
Yeah, I beat the game last night.
Jeez. So, Resident Evil 8, a lot of the hubbub is comparing it to Resident Evil 7. Because Resident Evil 7 was so different from previous Resident Evil games. People loved it. I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was an awesome game.
Yeah, I think it was near perfect. The only thing I didn't like was the ship section.
the Mia section. Yeah, yeah. I know. Because
well, not even just the Mia section. I didn't like the ship in general.
Oh really? But, yeah, even after we got our stuff back,
it was more enjoyable once I got my stuff back. But I didn't. But yeah, okay. that whole section I was not a fan of, and I'm not the only one. That's usually everyone agrees with that.
Resident Evil 7 was a survivor horror genre game. Released, when did it come out? 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
2017. It's been some years now. And between Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil 8, which was released earlier this week, they re-released multiple of the older Resident Evil classics. So, high hopes, right? People came into this with pretty high expectations. The first main villain of the game is Lady D, the first main villain.
Mm-hmm. Went Lady viral. Lady D and her daughters.
They're the first? Mm-hmm. That went viral, so the game had high hopes. Now, this is PS4 and PS5, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is it cross-platform, multi-platform?
Yeah, multi-platform.
Okay. Went viral. People had high hopes. And then it seems that there is... The voices I hear kind of have a consensus that this game, while having the same main character as Resident Evil 7, and in some ways the same look, is just a totally different game, and that difference is actually a bit of a letdown. Is that how you would feel?
Yes. Like I said, I thought Resident Evil 7 was near perfect. Mm-hmm. It was really good in terms of exploring. I liked a lot of exploring in the house, like the puzzles. They weren't too hard, but, you know.
Yeah, you had to
explore figure it out. And figure it out, yeah. And it was a little scary.
Teeny bit.
Not too scary. But I thought it was a nice balance.
Yeah, and it had a great story.
Yeah, and the story was good. Actually, a good story.
Yeah.
You follow it.
Yeah.
They had some goofy stuff there with the monsters getting a little nasty and a little too big. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was still a good story I can follow.
Yeah, multiple threads. Mm. So, compare that to the story in this game. Are they at all related?
Yes, it directly ties in to Resident Evil Biohazard to the point that they do a previously on in the beginning of the game. Okay. Make sure you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
But, am I allowed to spoil it on here?
Yeah, we've had spoilers. So okay, just let yeah. Spoiler.
So, it connects to this because apparently Ethan actually did die when he was at the baker's house the first time. And when he got the mold, they put the mold in him. So, his whole body became part of the mold.
Oh.
Like, so he's basically the same as Jack and the rest of the family. Mm. So that's how he was able to keep surviving, getting his hand cut off multiple times and just gluing it back on and stuff like that. But I thought it was so disrespectful. I got to that point in the game when Ethan was, like, in the void, and then it was, like, Evelyn, you know, the villain from the other game. She's like, Ethan. I was like, please, don't bring it to this, you know?
Right.
Then they're doing flashbacks to Jack carrying him to the house. They're like, oh, please, don't disrespect Resident Evil 7 like this.
Don't bring her into this.
Mm-hmm.
She's too good for this.
Yeah. It was Ethan. They made Ethan terrible in this job. You know, Ethan didn't have much of a character in Resident Evil 7.
No, I don't remember at all.
And that's okay, you know, because you were in his shoes.
First person.
But this one, he's saying the dumbest stuff all the time. Okay. I think someone died in front of him. He's like, ugh, why do people keep dying around me, you know? And I'm like, Ethan, please.
That don't even make sense.
So Mia dies in the beginning. Later on, Ethan finds out that wasn't actually Mia. That was the villain of this game.
Hold on. Well, Ethan's dead, though. So when you say Mia dies...
Ethan's dead, but he's still, like, he's not human anymore. He's just a mold.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he's just Ethan, the human, is dead. He's just been a mole this whole... Mold? Mold this whole time.
Right. Okay.
So Mia, his wife, died in the beginning. But then later on, at the end of the game, we find out the villain, Mother Miranda, was kidnapped Mia and was replacing her in Ethan's life. And after finding out about this, he never once asked, where's my wife, you know?
Oh, he my was just, goodness.
He just didn't care.
Yikes, ugh. He's a terrible main character.
Lady D, like you said, only in the beginning. She was the most interesting out of the villain family in this game.
Okay.
And everyone else was a letdown.
Now, tell me about Mother Miranda, because Lady D seems to answer to Mother Miranda.
Yes.
But Lady D seems to have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter, her vampire daughter. Mm-hmm. Are they vampires?
Vampire daughters. So they're not actually vampires. The daughters are actually made of a bunch of insects.
Okay.
I forgot the actual type, but the insects, they all form together into make those human bodies.
Oh, okay.
But then they live off, you know, eating flesh, human flesh. That's all they keep.
They all answer to Lady D.
Yeah, they answer to Lady D.
So.
And Lady D got her power from Mother Miranda. Because Mother Miranda's been trying to make a suitable host for her daughter she lost a long time ago, like hundreds of years ago.
Mm.
And she wanted to choose Evelyn, and then, you know, Evelyn died, so she's been looking for a new body, which she's going to use Ethan's son, Rose. And Mother Miranda's not technically a vampire. She just has really fast regenerative properties, and that's why she's so big. She keeps growing. But at the same time, for her to keep that up, she has to eat flesh, you know?
Right.
So which is just the vampire. The vampire with extra steps.
Yes. Okay. So, well, they could have been interesting characters.
Yeah, right. The Lady was definitely interesting. Didn't really care for Mother Miranda that much.
That seems to be the universal consensus. Okay, so a little bit of a step down in terms of characters, in terms of story. Gameplay, they're not comparable?
This one has better gameplay in terms of action.
Okay.
But I don't want that because I didn't want an action game. You see what I'm playing right now. You see me running through waves and shooting things.
Yes.
Granted, this is an action mercenaries mode, but still. I prefer the slow pace of Resident Evil 7, where I can actually dodge. Like,
yeah.
I can try to sneak by 80, if not 90% of the enemies in that game.
I forgot about that. And because you might not have the health or the ammo to fight everybody.
Yeah,
so you have to make some choices.
Yeah, the survival horror, you know, that's where that... Yeah, survival horror is when you're trying to survive with limited ammunition and stuff. Or I can sneak past them.
Right.
And this one, in this game, even if I don't fight them, it's at a downside, because when I kill enemies, they drop items.
Ugh.
So if I skip all the enemies, I'm missing out on a lot of money. So they kind of make you have to fight them, and I don't want to fight them. Because the gunplay is not, I mean, it's good, better than the last game. But in terms of, you know, video games as a whole, this is not great gunplay.
Would you compare this game to any Resident Evil game outside of the Resident Evil franchise?
This closest one this would be compared to is definitely 4. I don't think you've seen any gameplay of 4.
No, I'm saying like...
Oh.
I'm thinking of Doom Eternal. But
you're talking about...
anything outside of Resident Evil.
Oh, okay. You're asking the wrong person, because I don't play too many first-person shooters. If you have Doom as a reference, I would... Say a slow doom.
Okay, yeah, I know. Yeah, the pace is totally different. All right, so we still breaknecking. Okay, next week, Mass Effect.
Yeah,
The Legacy. Now they're re-releasing, and is it a remastered and a re-release?
It's
remastered, re-release. Are they rewriting? Is there any retconning going on?
No, unfortunately, okay. No.
Oh, what you talking about? Unfortunately, it's the greatest story ever told.
I know, but they could change some things now that it's a new age.
That's
One of the people in the first game, Caden, you know, he's so born. At some point in the game, you get to choose who lives and dies. Between Caden and Ashley, and it's always tough because Ashley is like a racist towards aliens, and she's unlikable in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then but Caden's just so boring.
Oh no, Xavier.
I was thinking they could have gone back and tried to, you know, make those two a little more interesting. I think you can date Caden as a male in the third game.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out he's bisexual, but you can't do that. You can't date him as a male in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have added that opportunity back.
Okay, yeah, I see the missed opportunities.
Everyone's, of course, is talking about they could have remade the ending, which a lot of people didn't like.
Of 3?
Yes. Oh, you heard this?
Is it the suicide mission?
No, that's number 2.
How does 3 end?
3 ends with, basically, after the whole series, all your choices come down to you just picking between 3 different colors of different ways to kill the Reapers.
Oh.
And a lot of people didn't like that. And then they patched it later on and just added like a slideshow showing the results of your final decision. Because in the beginning, there was...
He just killed the Reaper?
Yeah, that was it. So after they added that, the slideshow at the end, I was okay with that. Because despite there being four options, Jabin has always been one option. And the one option was the red one, which was to kill the Reapers.
Right? Well, what are the other two options?
There's another option you can combine with the Reaper host thing and make all organisms and synthetics like one. So like, yeah, so everyone has synthetic stuff going on.
Right.
That's Reaper's whole thing. Mm-hmm. The reason they come to the galaxy every 50,000 years and kill all organic life is because they believe organics and synthetics cannot live together. Yes, they cannot coexist. So they just take them out and then let everyone start over again.
So, yeah. Okay. So that's just a workaround to just kill them. You should just kill the Reapers.
Yeah, yeah. There's another one where you can control them, which is, I guess that's a possibility. That's what the villain human group Cerberus was trying to do the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
You try to control them. What is the fourth one? I forgot the fourth one.
It doesn't matter
because the correct answer is to kill them.
To kill the massively genocidal, xenophobic, powerful group of... I see now. Yes, yeah. I see.
And if you destroy them, that's the only ending in the game where you get post-credit scenes of Shepard still breathing at the end.
Like
because other than that, he'll die. Or she.
Oh.
That tells you what they thought the ending was, right?
Yes, it does. Okay. Well, other than that, it's a great story I'm told.
Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't think they needed to rewrite the ending. I was okay with it.
I mean, it's not the greatest, but it's up there. All right, we're going to move into the next section where we talk about what's going on the channel. So, recent games. Right now, we're trying to play Grim Fandango and Night in the Woods. Had some interruptions, holidays, people getting sick, stuff like that. But let's talk about Night in the Woods first.
Okay.
Both of these kind of have their own sub conversation. So we're going to start with Night in the Woods. It was a game that was not on my radar at all until I was just looking for games that I thought would be interesting. A crowdsourced game. Just 2D animated, colorful, kind of cut out shapes where a cat, like a humanoid cat type of thing. Interesting game so far. I think we're just getting started in terms of what the story is about.
Oh, okay.
She's about to have like a dream in the woods, and that's where the whole night in the... Because this is the first day that we've played a night in the woods.
Okay.
The
rest of the game's been a daytime. So it's still building up.
Yeah. But it's not... Obviously, it's not that long, so I don't know why they put in a whole epilogue. But we're playing Night in the Woods, which was a game originally released in 2017. Critically, well-received critically, although not so much commercially. I'm enjoying it, so if you want to get caught up on our Night in the Woods streams, I think we're only two streams in.
Yeah.
I think we did the first two. We'll be back on with number three a little bit later in the week.
Chapman's doing all the voice acting.
Oh, I'm doing all the voice acting! Yeah, the game doesn't have voice acting, which I didn't know when I became interested in it, so then it was kind of too late to turn back. But I am doing all the voice acting. Is it impressive? No, it is not. I can only do
one accent.
Eastern European and basically Texan.
Oh, yeah, Texas, two accents,
I can do two, and then I can do, I can do high pitch or low pitch, and I can do it fast or slow. But I've tried. I've tried working in other accents, and
I like your Greg voice.
Oh, my Greg! Because Greg is always yelling and excited. And, but that is just Texas.
That's just Texas?
It's just Texas, but I just yell all the way through. So, but yeah, we're going to play that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about crowdsourced games later, because I recently put up my review of Jenny the Clue.
Oh, yes.
That went up on Friday. Last Friday. Yeah, it'll be Friday by the time this goes up. That went up on Friday, so we're going to get into that. But before we do, we're going to talk about Grim Fandango. Let's just talk about the game first.
Okay.
So Xavier played Grim Fandango years and years and years ago. He didn't actually finish the game, though.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who's a gamer or in the gaming sphere knows Grim Fandango is universally loved, critically acclaimed, probably set the tone for future adventure games in 1998.
I didn't know it came out that late. Not late, that early.
It's almost as old as I am. And so we're playing it now. We have streamed three and we're going to stream number 4 tonight, but it'll be live when we do it tonight. So, again, if you want to check that out, you can just click in the description of this video on YouTube and you can watch it. But Grim Fandango was made by Tim Schafer, legend,
mm-hmm.
who worked on some other legendary projects, and LucasArts, who, again, worked on some other legendary projects. And what I want to know is, particularly for Grim Fandango and The Secret of Monkey Island, we'll just keep it at Secret of Monkey Island 1. Neither of those games were commercially successful in their time, but both of those games are universally critically acclaimed today.
Bless you.
Thank you. So, without giving you any chance to
research
why do you think that is?
Now that I know it came out in 1998, I think that we were just fading away from point and click adventure games.
Because
that's around the same, that's 2 years after Mario 64 came out, when they used to introduce that 3D, you know? It was a new age.
You know, they did try to redo the whole point and click in Grim Fandango with this kind of pseudo point without a cursor.
Yeah.
The character points, the player doesn't point with a cursor. Okay. Yeah, it's just... But at this, it was behind the times, but at the same time, it was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
It worked that noir, that there's a very specific style of humor that whoever writes it, Tim Schafer, whoever's responsible, has, where it's just funny, you know? It's not like bust the gut funny, but you're like, this is some funny lines.
They got jokes.
I'll come back if I do any research, but I'm going to speed through these next few topics because we are running out of time. Gaming World News. New Apex Legends game mode. Are we excited?
Yeah. So I've been playing Apex Arenas, is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of putting a dent in my, you know, my schedule. Well, not too much, because I stopped to play Resident Evil. Aceen's been mad. but yes, it is good. I think Apex Legends has the best gunplay of any multiplayer shooter I've ever played.
Really?
But the only problem is that it's a battle royale. But, like, the main thing is a battle royale. So that means you can go 20 minutes without fighting a single person. And when you finally get in a fight, you could die to a third party instantly.
Ooh.
And then you're like, the last 20 minutes of my life have been worthless. with no action, no gameplay. But now they added this new game called Arenas, which is just a one team versus another 3v3. So you get right into the action immediately.
Honing the gameplay styles.
So now I can just hop in, play a quick 5-minute match, and hop out, and have like I can have 9 or 5 fights during that time,
right,
compared to one game of battle royale where I might get 1 or 2.
Okay. I like that. They're getting smart.
Mm.
Okay, so you say Apex is the best.
Oh yeah.
Now, are you going to try this leaderboards thing? I know you and you were supposed to help your friend.
Yeah, last season I was supposed to help Aceon, and I failed him.
You did.
As of right now, there's no ranked mode in
Ruby the
in the arena? Yeah, arenas. Damn. But I will. Yeah, they're going to come out eventually, and I'll help them out. But okay. We'll see what my game schedule looks like. Remember, Mass Effect comes out next week, Jack. Okay.
True.
Comes out next week.
I mean, when he hears how little regard you held for Resident Evil 8, and you still
I still
blew
finished
him
it.
Off.
I finished.
Okay. All right. We are running out of time, so I'm going to just hit one of our conversational topics. Speedrun culture. Now, in the last episode, y'all, we talked about It Takes Two. After we recorded that episode, we saw some speedruns for It Takes Two. Some of the most impressive gameplay I've ever seen in my life. First of all, I didn't even realize the game was designed. Like, they were jumping over branches that were overhead. I don't know why they had physical...
You're thinking why the developers even make that a physical object?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. And the speedrun people figured it out. It was all types of crazy stuff. So, speedrun culture, I know you enjoy watching speedruns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you have any favorites? What about speedrunning just stands out to you?
I like my favorite are the ones that are actually glitchless, where they're playing the game without using glitch like that,
mm-hmm.
and then just, you know, they're just that good. I know a lot of people don't like that. They think that defeats the whole purpose. Maybe not a lot of people, but I remember...
There's a section.
Yeah, there's a section that don't really like that compared to actually going through with the glitches. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why I like it. To see someone, you know, perfect the game. Play SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom for 20 years.
Right.
And be the best of the best and know how to get all through it. I find that fun.
You gotta think how many times they played it.
Yeah,
you gotta play the thing 20 years straight. And then if you mess up, you get all the way, you know, you get 75% of the way through and you slip and it's all over.
And then, yeah, you're like, it's not gonna be my PB. You just restart. Start the whole game all over again.
Everything becomes a roguelike
game. Yeah, that brings roguelike to a whole new level. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely does. That was the most, those speedruns were like, they were pretty awesome. We used to watch a channel. What was the name of that channel?
That was the biggest one, Games Done Quick.
Do they still run speedruns?
Yeah.
They do it all day long?
They even have a Twitch now, where they just have people doing it.
Games Done Quick, a great source of entertainment. I feel like that would be something that you could watch at work or listen to. Translate to the same.
Yeah, not for that one. Yeah, I need to see the moves so I can be impressed.
Right. You got to be impressed. That's part of it. All right, and then the last topic was roguelike games, but we pretty much already covered all of that. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, that's the time. We hope that you enjoyed our conversations today, and we'll see you back here in a few weeks. If anything crazy happens, you can expect us to talk about it here on Not Live with Xavier and Jasmine. Thanks for coming. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.